The Defense Department is putting a freeze on just about all civilian hiring across wide swaths of its workforce. But the freeze is conditional, and defense components can exempt themselves by taking just a few steps. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about it as part of this week's Inside the DoD's Reporter Notebook and joins me now with more. Jared, is it a freeze or not a freeze?
Well, it's definitely a freeze, and there's a couple things to say about it. It does not apply to the entire Defense Department. In other words, the military services are not affected by this. So the freeze applies to defense agencies and what are called Office of the Secretary of Defense field activities. So very broad swaths of what's sometimes called the Fourth Estate in DoD. This reference to the Fourth Estate is not the press. Somebody brings this up to me every time I use that phrase in a story referring to this part of DoD. But in DoD speak, it just refers to the military components outside the military services. As to your question about whether it really is a freeze, it really is a freeze. All civilian hiring in defense agencies and field activities is suspended as of last week. But agencies can get themselves out from under that freeze fairly easily. There's a couple steps that they have to take, and they have to do with something we've talked about before. Which is the delayering initiative that Deputy Defense Secretary Robert Work put in place.
It sounds like something that happens at a dermatologist.
Slightly different in this case. Anyway, that Deputy Secretary put in place last July in response really to a lot of congressional pressure to cut back the civilian workforce and headquarters elements at something close to the same rate that the military is shrinking. So this delayering initiative was supposed to basically increase supervisor spans of control so that you don't have one person supervising three people, as that's kind of built up over the years, mostly during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars when there was a tremendous amount of civilian hiring after the sort of cutbacks of the 90s came to an end. So anyway, what components have to do in order to get out from under the freeze is A, submit their plans to the Deputy Chief Management Officer to comply with that delayering initiative and start to weed out a little bit more of the administration and management layers within their organizations, and then update all of their workforce data in this purpose-built DoD database called the Fourth Estate Manpower Tracking System, so that DoD can actually develop and report to Congress some, you know, numbers with a little bit better fidelity on what the civilian workforce is actually made up of and what it does.
And not to be too cynical about this, but these agencies such as DISA do have uniformed employees. So one way around that is to get uniforms in if they can't get civilians.
Yeah, that is one. Yeah, absolutely. That is one way around it. But there's only so many uniforms running around the Defense Department right now.
That's
true. When you look at the Army, for example, they are in some cases running short of people to actually fill the billets they have. So if you're an independent agency, you've got to talk to the military services to actually come up with those bodies to actually fill those spots.
These plans for the delayering, who's responsible for filing those and how soon do they have to do it?
Well, it really would be the head of the individual agency or field activity that has to submit those to the Deputy Chief Management Officer. They really are supposed to be in by now, and I think that's why Secretary Work is imposing this freeze right now. It's basically a lever to press all these organizations to actually comply with the initiative he ordered back in July. And like I said, as soon as they do that, they can resume hiring again in accordance with the plans that they're submitting to DCMO, these to-be organizations, as he put it. But until the whole point of the freeze, really, according to Work, is to make sure that they're not hiring civilians into positions that are supposed to be going away under the reorganized structure of a given agency or activity, if that makes sense.
Right. I was going to say this is not a freeze in the sense of that this direct order right now is to reduce the civilian employment, but the plans for delayering could in fact cause a reduction in force that way.
They could and probably will eliminate some certain jobs. And again, this is something that Congress has been very, very interested in, and DoD to a certain extent. Back in 2013, right after sequestration happened, Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary at the time, said we're going to reduce all headquarters activities by 20%. Congress has not been happy about how that's gone, even though that the military services claim that they've complied. In the case of the Air Force, for example, Senator John McCain, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, has been very upset about how they've handled it. He says they have not cut 20%. They've essentially just moved headquarters functions out of the Pentagon and out of major headquarters activities around the country down to lower level organizations so that the positions are no longer counted as headquarters, but they still exist. They hadn't gone away.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Deputy Editor Jared Serbu. And also in your notebook, you talk about the Navy preparing an RFP for cloud service procurements. It seems like they are sawing the sawdust when it comes to cloud and DOD. What is the latest here?
So the latest here is really, I think the Navy is trying to do a couple things. One is make it easier to get cloud services on contract, because kind of the way things are right now is anytime any element of DOD wants to purchase cloud services, they first have to make sure that all their prospective vendors have provisional authorizations under DOD's cloud security requirements guide. Then once they get those provisional authorizations by going through FedRAMP and the whole FedRAMP Plus process that DOD has in place, they then have to issue their own authority to operate for each system for each purpose. So I think one thing that the cloud store would do ideally is you would take an existing contract that the Navy already has, sort of like a blanket purchase agreement, eventually with multiple vendors. Right now it's just with Amazon Web Services, but eventually there would be multiple vendors on the contract. A Navy component would then go to what's called the Navy Data Center Application and Optimization Office, and they would kind of shepherd that customer through the whole process of, okay, what exactly do you need? Infrastructure as a service, how much storage space, how much compute, and what's sort of the roadmap for migrating your applications out of your legacy systems or out of Navy Enterprise data centers and into this commercial environment. And then they would then actually move the money around to the places where it needs to be from that organization to the actual end vendor. So it's supposed to really simplify the entire process. This what we're talking about right now would be the Cloud Store 2.0. We're expecting an RFP to support that sometime in the next month. The 1.0 of the store just came online in March. As I said, Amazon Web Services is the only customer, but they've used that contract to quite a bit of effect so far. More than 1,000 of the Navy's public-facing websites have already moved to Amazon through that contract, so they're using it quite a bit. The question then is, okay, now that you've got, you know, competing vendors on contract at some point down the road, is there a plan to maybe recompete those so that Amazon is not just the incumbent forever? Not to say that they're doing a bad job. I'm sure they're not, but it'd be nice if there was some competition in that cloud space.
Well, it sounds classic. Take something simple, like use a cloud, make it incredibly complex, spend 2 years making it simple again.
That's right. And I should say the
while new, you're delayering.
The newly revised DOD Cloud Security Requirements Guide was just released about 2 days ago. So I think they're continuing to refine that and hopefully simplify things a little bit more. They did go simpler in the first version of the Cloud Security Requirements Guide by eliminating some of the various different security classification levels for cloud computing. They took it down to essentially, well, 4 as opposed to the previous 6. So that simplified things in some ways. I think they're trying to do a little bit more of that with the updated SRG here.
And business IT systems back in the news for DOD, something they've been struggling with, again, for a long time, mm-hmm. as part of the whole business system, as part of the whole business process itself that they're trying to revamp,
right,
and get accountable. What's going on with the IT system design?
Yeah, as you note, it's certainly been a big problem in DOD procuring, particularly these large enterprise resource planning systems. There's been more than one case where they've sunk $1 billion into a particular product and or a particular project and never really got a usable product. So we mentioned the Deputy Chief Management Officer earlier. There is a new DCMO as of last year, Peter Levine, who spent a very long time as the most recently as the staff director of the Senate Armed Services Committee, but a very long time on Capitol Hill. So he's gotten to watch DOD from the outside quite a bit, and now from the inside. His diagnosis of the whole business system problem, the way I put it in the notebook, is too many cooks in the kitchen, but that's my phrase, not his. Essentially, you've got DCMO, who's in charge of sort of certifying and signing off on the sort of business processes that go into a business IT system. Then you've got the DOD CIO off in another corner, who's in charge of all the technical standards. And then that all goes over to the acquisition community, the ATNL folks, who can kind of do whatever they want. They can stand up a program office that costs a lot of money, potentially, as Levine puts it, costs potentially as much as the fix that the DCMO folks were originally looking at, just to staff up that office. And then their solution might be, okay, we're going to build a brand new system here, as opposed to just fixing it as was recommended to us. So that the plan now is to have that sort of triad all communicate with each other by creating a new investment review process where all three of those organizations are at the table from the beginning and throughout the sort of requirements build process and the development of the system so that you don't have all these sort of competing interests doing things in different ways. So the hope is that A, speeds up procurements of these large systems and keeps the department from making really wild, crazy investments that they don't necessarily need to. And hopefully not customizing the systems as much either.
Yes, always a no-no. Yes. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, thanks so much for that update.
You got it.
You can read his notebook inside the DOD's reporter notebook online now at federalnewsradio.com. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.